T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. What a time to be alive, Freems.
It is. And what a time to be a sports fan in the city. And, you know, last time the Brewers and Bucks were this good at the same time, our next guest was a sports writer here in town.
Wait. The Brewers are 13-13, and they lost 7 of their last 8. I don't know how good they are right now.
But they're still a contender, and they're coming off Game 7 of the NLCS last year. You remember, we're going to be talking about Game 7 and last year's team for the next 30 years.
That is true, and we'll have parades.
That's what we do here in Wisconsin.
All that stuff. Bobbleheads. Steve Ashburner knows that well. You can now find his work, NBA.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Ash.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me. You had me thinking there. What was the Brewers' record at this point in their season in 1982? I mean, they still had Buck Rogers as manager, didn't they?
You know what? You're right. And they fired Buck about first week of June or end of May. Yeah.
Yeah, that team didn't take off.
There you heard it. Chuck says the Brewers should fire Craig Counsell.
No.
Chuck just said that. Everybody, go and tweet that.
But, Steve, you remember the previous October, they went to the postseason for the first time and lost to the Yankees in that miniseries.
Yep, I remember that. I remember that well. I remember the Don Money ball that was hit down left field, and Dave Winfield sort of went up on the wall to grab that.
At Yankee Stadium.
That was the start of something. That was quite a run that they had. But yeah, it was a big disappointment in the spring, though, when they didn't build on that right away, and people were nervous that little half tenant in 81 was going to be it.
Yeah,
and then it didn't work out that way. They had a very, you know, memorable year.
Yeah, and they fired Buck Rogers, promoted Harvey Keene, and they took off on that West Coast trip. But all right, we got you out to talk about the Bucks here, and you've been up here many times covering the Bucks for NBA.com. Do the Bucks need Malcolm Brogdon to be a legitimate contender for the Eastern Conference crown? Do they need him back?
You know what? I'm going to say yes. Out of respect for the season that Brogdon was having until he got hurt in March with the plantar fasciitis deal, the tear. It's this vague feeling because I didn't sort of chronicle it all and log it all specifically, but I'm telling you that the games I saw, many of the games I saw in which the Bucks won and dealt with some adversity and you know, didn't have a breeze, kind of a double-digit victory from start to finish, it struck me that there was a, you know, six possession stretch, four possessions up and down, whatever it was, there was a stretch in games where Brogdon would assert himself. He would attack the rim. He would put up a three-pointer. He would do something that was like a pivot point, and that would give a boost to the Bucks and sort of get them on track and on their way. And I think that, you know, they've done fine, obviously, in his absence and covered for his loss and all that. But I think that becomes more and more important as you advance in the playoffs and having that guy. You know, look, I understand the whole 50-40-90 thing in terms of the shooting percentages. You know, can that, you know, be sustained, you know, when he comes back and even beyond this season? I mean, that he always regressed to the mean, and maybe he's not that level of shooter. Maybe he is. But I think it's, to me, just his putting his head down and sort of willing you know, himself to have an impact for a stretch in a game that I think it makes him invaluable. And you can get by without that in a 1-8 first-round matchup. But from this point forward, you know, these opponents are the real deal. And the sooner he's available and healthy and in rhythm, the better for the Bucks.
Talking with Steve Ashburner, NBA.com. Bucks and Celtics will start on Sunday at noon, Fiserv Forum. We'll see how long this series goes. Scheduled to go out until May 13th, if it does go that long. Malcolm Brogdon's going to be out. They struggled for a while, Steve, without him. They did. George Hill has now gotten a little more aggressive and been a nice replacement in that time. But the Bucks are going to be without Brogdon. The Celtics are going to be without Marcus Smart, who I think is going to be a big loss for them, especially against Milwaukee in this series. When you look at how this is going to play out, I think what a lot of people are doing is they're looking at the name on the front and not on the back. I think they're looking at, oh, it's Boston. Okay, they'll win somehow. Let's make the series go seven. Give Milwaukee some credit. They were the one seed, but we like the Celtics. So are you going to be one of those guys, or are you going to be with me and Chuck and take the Bucks to win this series?
No, I'm one of the former. Only because, to be honest with you, I've sort of spent my life, keep in mind my background. I grew up in Chicago. I started out, I guess, my first affinity was for the Chicago Cubs. So you end up as a half-empty kind of a sports fan, you know, sort of for the rest of your life when that happens. And so you're always fearing what's going to go wrong. I mean, when the Chicago Cubs, and I'm sure your listeners don't want to hear about this, but when they won the World Series in 2016, it was the most agonizing night. I didn't enjoy that championship game. And I've got it on my DVR, and I haven't watched it yet. But now it would be safe to do so. But that was a horrible night because you're always fearing what's going to go wrong. And so I do look at the fact that, you know, the Bucks really haven't proven anything to this point. They've gotten out of the first round. Okay, that's great. But when you win 60 games, you had better do that. And Boston, you know, just in the very short term, you don't have to go back to the Celtics of Russell and Havlicek and Collins. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals last spring, and they nearly eliminated LeBron James, and the Bucks did not. So, no, I think that Boston has a definite claim to, you know, some edge in this series, and not to say that Brad Stevens has any, you know, greater claims than Mike Budenholzer, but I do think Stevens, when he, you know, he sort of has a good reputation. And when he locks in multiple games in a row against the same opponent, I think, you know, I think teams and coaching staffs, they can really show what they're made of, because it's, you adjust, you know, in games, you adjust from game to game. It's different from catching a team, you know, three or four times splattered across a 6-month canvas. It's you know, you're really locked in and you dissect your opponent and you start to take things away. And then it's a matter of what's left. So, no, I do think that the Bucks have their hands full with the Celtics.
Is that what makes Stevens so good? He's able to look at the Bucks and try to take things away, at least you know, game plan against it.
Yeah, I think that is part of it. I do think that you'll notice that, you know, the way the matchups go and things that they do. He's got a deep roster. They can mix and match in terms of you know, defensive assignments. And they also, you know, can throw different offensive looks at you. And, you know, when they're better offensively, I think, when Al Horford's playing center, but they're better defensively when Al Horford is a power forward and can be matched up on Giannis. Now, you know, it also seems to me they're a team that can throw multiple players at Giannis. Maybe none of them would be, like, the answer, but as you have a variety of defenders, you know, that can disrupt things enough for Milwaukee. Marcus Smart, to me, that's a big loss for Boston just in general, and particularly with Giannis, because it almost strikes me that he could have been Patrick Beverly to Giannis the way Beverly was to Kevin Durant, or has been to Kevin Durant in that series out west. That, okay, he's a shorter guy, but boy, when he gets up under your legs and in tight with you, and he's incredibly strong, and he's relentlessly feisty, you know, they're going to miss him every bit as much, maybe more than the Bucks miss Brogdon.
Do you think that, Mike? Do you think that the Bucks are the Celtics are the toughest matchup for Milwaukee?
Like, if they get through this, when they prove you wrong and get through this, and they take on Toronto or Philly, is this the matchup right here that's going to send a team to the Eastern Conference Finals, or are we looking at Philly or Toronto to be one of those teams? Basically, that's a wordy way of asking you, who do you like out of the East?
I think it's very even. Look, I do have enough respect for the Celtics and, you know, what they can do. I think that, you know, the Celtics haven't been the Celtics of last spring for most of the season, but they seem to be finding themselves now. So, you know, woe to the teams that have to play them at this point compared to most of this year. But I also remember Philadelphia coming into Fiserv Forum on a Sunday in March and pretty much having its way with the Bucks when Giannis scored 52. You know, now, to Milwaukee's credit, they went to Philadelphia and gave it back to the Sixers, and that was a pretty important victory, you know, at that point and as a statement for any future meetings. So, you know, that could be an interesting series. I think Philadelphia is its own worst enemy, and there's no telling. Not only do you have an opponent hammering on you in a playoff series, but I think that they have internal situations that are going to, you know, potentially cause problems. And Toronto is just, you know, maybe the deepest, best Raptors team ever. You know, they don't, to me, they don't strike the same level of fear because I just think that the Bucks match up pretty well with them. But, you know, they're a very good team, and there are people that think that the Toronto Raptors will be the team that represents the East. So, you know, you can't dismiss them.
The Boston Celtics, do you think they have any chemistry issues? Or are they? Because when I see the series, this recent series here, I look at them the way they dominated Indiana, or at least beat them in all four games. And, Steve, I look at them and I say, man, they looked a lot better than I saw them at times during the regular season.
Yep. No, I agree. I think that they sort of worked some things out. I think they probably are at a desperation point where it's sort of like, you know, we all need each other. You know, Kyrie Irving, he has these wild swings from, you know, incredibly committed to 1 foot out the door, it seems, with comments and body language. And yet right now it seems like he's pretty locked in and he's soaking up the attention he's getting for this, you know, all-time great playoff winning percentage or whatever, because he was part of LeBron's playoff teams without sort of the struggles that LeBron had to go through. So, no, I think they're in Boston is sort of very close to where they want to be. And you know, if you look at this from the perspective of a Celtics fan, they probably look at the Celtics and say, well, if Marcus Smart's getting healthier and this team is coming together, and okay, now the first round took care of that. Second round, Milwaukee, and you know, then they'll just sort of take their steps one by one. I think Celtics fans are probably in a pretty good place right now. That Bucks fans want to be, I guess.
Steve Ashburner, NBA.com, AshNBA, ASCHNBA on Twitter. Thanks, Steve. We'll talk soon.
Oh, I see you guys a lot. I'm on for the duration. Celtics Bucks.
Oh, that's a good thing, Ash. Anytime we see you at Fiserv, it's a good thing. Big double thumbs up for me, my friend.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
All right.
Steve Ashburner joining us.
Love seeing Ash.
On the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
I only hope he feels the same way.
About seeing you?
Yeah! Be out there Sunday at noon.
Oh, talking to Steve really jazzed you up.
No, I've been fired up all day, all week, all year.
Your boy Steve likes the Celtics.
Hey, not going to feel any different about Steve, man. Still a good guy, good writer, good guest. Yeah, well, I mean, there's some national guys who like the Bucks, and there's some guys who like the Celtics. I think it's, you know, split right down. The Bucks are only a minus 200 favorite in the series, so, I mean, just because he's taking the Celtics doesn't mean that he might not be wrong on that.
Your boy Steve says the Bucks are going to lose. But I think his reasoning was because he's a Cubs fan.
No.
Is that what I garnered?
No. I think that's the roundabout way of looking at that. But, yeah, he was a Cub fan growing up because he's from the Chicago area.
Let's just add it to the collection of people that are looking, again, at the name of the front, not the backs. I mean, it's Boston, Milwaukee.
I don't think Ash has done that. I think he breaks it down. He's a one of the smarter basketball guys in the country.
We've got the best player. We've got a better bench.
Yeah.
Name me, top of your head, what's the weakness of this Bucks team?
What's the weakness?
Yep. Oh, you repeated the question. That means you have no answer. There is no answer.
Well, it's not coaching. Okay. It's not defense. It's not rebounding like it used to be. Outside shooting, they're pretty good. They bring intensity every night. What is the weakness? Maybe we should throw out to our listeners. If there's one weakness on the team, what is it? They don't let down. They don't lose two in a row. I'm not saying they're the, they're not the 90s Bulls, but where really is their weakness?
Why don't we save that for next week?
After they lose on Sunday?
Yeah. If they
after they get exposed,
yeah. Well, we've got to make some props, Chuck, on tonight's activities.
Yeah, I suppose the draft is going on tonight.
Yeah, we should probably get back to
6 p.m. the next two nights here on the Fan.
That's Chuck and Winkler here on the Fan. Speaking of Milwaukee and the basketball team, my boy Sith Lord's getting hammered. You know what happens
already? It's only 9:15 in the morning.
Not like drunk hammered.
Oh.
No, my boy Sid's getting hammered because he does a lot of videos, and he's the one that sold me my car. This is where this is going, Hyundai West Dallas. But he's the one that sold me my car, and he does all these videos, and I like to do videos with him sometime. But he's been doing these videos about how, the Milwaukee's not going to lose. Boston's trash. Boston Twitter has found him, and now they're coming at him relentlessly. So this guy is getting destroyed on what's happening.
Well, that's only going to natural, because if what their guys were saying stuff about our guys, we'd be doing the same thing.
I'm saying we need to show Sith and all the guys at Hyundai West Dallas our support, and we need to prove Boston wrong by buying as many cars as possible over the next week. That'll show Boston.
It sure will. Well, right? if they ever find out about it,
that will show them.
Yeah,
move all the cars on the lot at Hyundai West Dallas. Get them off that lot and show Boston.
God, I hate Boston.
Show them that they're wrong.
Yeah.
No, but Sis is a great guy.
Boston entitlement stuff.
No entitlement over at Hyundai West Dallas. Check them out. Hyundai West Dallas, Highway 100, HyundaiWestDallas.com. New or used vehicle. Or if you just got a service issue with your car, even if you didn't buy it from them, they'll help you out. Oil changes, all that kind of stuff. You hear a weird rattle. You drive over one of the 9,000 potholes that they won't fix in the city. They will help you out at Hyundai West Dallas. And they're big fans, obviously, of our sports teams, big fans of this station, and therefore big fans of you. Check them out, Hyundai West Dallas, Highway 100, just off of Arthur and between Lincoln and National. You can also check them out, HyundaiWestDallas.com. Great vehicle. I've got a Santa Fe Sport. I've had that for a year. I love the vehicle. I love Hyundai. I love the assurances. I love the warranties. And again, you'll love the discount you get when you tell them that one of us here at the Fan sent you. All right, we want to talk to some Bucks mob members. We'll do that coming up. We'll go over props for tonight's draft. Ross Tucker yet this hour as well to talk some NFL draft too. It's Chuck and Winkler here on the Fan.
Coming up today at 2 on the Wendy's Big Show, live from the Q Club of Wisconsin. We're
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. NFL draft tonight. More on that. Ross Tucker, one of our radio.com sports insiders, former NFL player, offensive lineman. He'll join us momentarily. We're going to do some draft props coming up in a second. But the Bucks mob is out. The reports are that people did not like the Steve Ashburner interview. I'm Bart. That's Chuck. Ryan Horvat, producer of the show. You're monitoring the tweets.
Harvey, what's going on there?
People seem a little upset about our boy Ash.
Yeah, you can't predict the Celtics on the station. You know that.
Yeah.
Buck mob.
Oh, geez. It's a prediction.
They're on it already, though. I actually predicted the Celtics to go to the finals, but I did it a year ago, and then I changed my mind once I knew the Bucks were good and saw how good they were.
Oh, so. You did change?
Do you dare make a prediction on the Celtics if you are on this
are
radio
you
station?
The Bucks?
Well, I mean, my money's still on the Celtics because I placed the bet
last year.
But no, I'm on the Bucks. Yeah, I think the Bucks win this series.
Are you
series
on
in six.
Air on the Bucks and off air
no,
on the Celtics?
I'm both. I think this Bucks.
Are you
team
afraid
is.
To go on the Celtics because
hey,
you get killed?
No, I told Freems in the back today. I said I think the Bucks have a legit shot to beat the Warriors.
Well, I'm telling
the
you,
the Clippers have a shot to beat the Warriors.
Yeah, that might their season might be done Sunday.
Yeah, and then Kevin Durant, he'll be a Clipper next year. But I think that this team, just the chemistry. I think Giannis is on a mission. I think the Bucks definitely are going to the finals, but I think they have a legit shot. Yeah, no, I'm not just saying that on air.
You know, the first round of the playoffs haven't done much for me, but now I'm kind of pulled in by this Golden State series.
I promise, man. I'm on the Bucks.
Yeah.
In fact, I went to the pro shop yesterday. Well, not the pro shop. I went to the mall pro shop, you know, to see if I could get myself a discount. I was like, I'm going to pick some stuff up for the run here.
Why did you get it?
Name of the game?
And then I was going to get one? I was going to get the Giannis Nike, the new athletic tee that they got out. And then I saw it was like $50. And then I was like, yeah, I'm not going to drop $500 on apparel today. Maybe next week.
$500 or $50?
Well, just everything that I wanted combined. I would have ended up dropping about $500. But yeah, $50 for a t-shirt.
Well, let's hear from the Bucks mob. Sean's in Racine. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Sean.
Props to you guys for keeping your composure, unlike when Gary's spouting off. So good job with that. I don't understand if he hasn't watched the Bucks all season or what. They won the season series against the Celtics. They have the better team. They have the deeper bench. They haven't even gotten fully healthy yet, and they were about the only team in this playoffs. Granted, they were playing the worst record-wise team in the league that only had what's his face?
Don't get overconfident. Don't get overconfident in the Bucks to think they could just mail this in.
Bucks in five.
I'm sensing Bucks Nation starting to do this.
They
that no matter what,
team's
the only game that they
I'm with you, Sean.
Look like they were
don't be going
not
there.
All there for only the first half was the fourth game. But what happened? They pulled it off and they went away with it. They've won by double figures.
I'm not saying the Bucks aren't going to win this series, but don't.
They're going to sweep the Celtics. Yeah.
No, they're going to win
five. I said from the beginning, I have them in six.
Nah, it's too much. Hey, Sean, that's too much.
But they're going to get one.
All that stuff you just said, you think the Celtics are going to win two?
Look at what happened last season. It was different teams, but every home team won.
Kyrie is playing in this series. You know that, right?
And Milwaukee does have – well, who is Curry? Excuse me, Kyrie? He ended up – hurting his team at times. He's one of the best players in the league, yes.
Kyrie doesn't
but, as they said, he sounds like either he's all in half the time or one foot out the door or the other. There's
no, it's not
chemistry issues with that team.
When these guys come on, it's not them. You know, Gary or Ashburner aren't coming on to be fanboy. They're just telling you what they think.
No, I agree, but I'm just saying, notice I haven't bashed him. The only thing I said was, has he not watched the Bucks this season that much?
He's been a lot of games.
Sean, thanks for the call.
Yeah, again, don't it's missing the Celtics. I'm not saying the Bucks aren't going to win the series, but just don't think the Bucks are going to roll the ball out there and Celtics are going to come in and say, "Oh, you know, you guys won 60 games, just, you know, take this series." No, they're going to give the Bucks a run, man.
Sith Lord's on the phone. Did you hear my ad for you?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
Yeah, let's hear it right now.
Okay, I said, love.
Come buy a car for me.
No, that's what I said. I said all of Boston's coming after my guy Sith Lord, so let's prove Boston wrong and go buy all the cars at Hyundai West Dallas and show Boston.
I feel
what's
like 90% of this radio station, this show, is about their car dealership.
Well, I have an infatuation with Sith.
I think this is 90%.
What am I supposed
10%
to do?
10% Bucks and Brewers and Packers.
Yeah,
and
what
the
am
rest?
I supposed to do? 90, love this guy.
90%.
Sith Lord.
Hey, and first of all, before I say what I'm going to say, like, you know, Gary Wolfel and even Ashburner, like, look, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and that's all good. Like, if you don't think the Bucks can win it, that's fine. But it just seems like some of his reasoning is just, like, it's like if you're over 50 years old or something like that, it's like you just can't imagine, like, anybody but Boston or, like, you know, LA ever winning a title. And it's like the game has changed. If you look at the season matchup between the Bucks and Boston, the Boston Celtics, it's like we just absolutely dominated them in points in the paint. And that just is proof to show that they have no answer for Giannis. And while they have a deep team, and I'm not saying that like the Celtics can't beat the Bucks or win the series. Like, they, of course they can. But I'm just telling you, like, if you're looking at, like, the statistics between the two teams based on the games that they've played, they all favor the Bucks. So I don't know why anyone would pick against them.
Wait, did you hear the Ashburner interview?
Yeah, I heard it.
And then you didn't hear your commercial I did on you?
I walked outside.
You tuned out your own commercial?
Well, you know.
Well, he's heard it so many because he's bound to hear it in another 10 minutes anyway. I mean, he's going to come on and I'll tell him probably three more times before we're done here.
Hey, HyundaiWestDallas.com, Highway 100 in West Dallas.
Hey, listen, I love my job, but I like the Bucks, I think, a little bit more. Now, listen, I'm just saying that I just don't see, like, if you were bet, I always look at all of my predictions personally, like, if I had to put money on it. Mm-hmm. And if you had to put your hard-earned money on it, who are you taking it? And I don't see how logically you couldn't take the Bucks, so... That's why I think the Bucks are going to do it. Bucks and six.
Bucks and six, my guy.
If you're to take the Bucks, it would take $200 to win 100 because they're 2-1 favorites.
Did you know that guy is one of the car dealers at Hyundai West Dallas?
Many times.
Did you know that? HyundaiWestDallas.com.
He's like, I feel like he's the fourth person on the show. He gets more time than Horvy. Horvy, what do you got to say
it's
about that?
It's kind of a sore subject right now, actually, in the Horvat household.
It is. Horvy, he's always itching for more playing time.
Start a podcast.
I am not starting a podcast. Podcast when I was 16 years old.
Sunday mornings, the PAs, you can do those, the public service announcements.
This guy brings up those PSAs one more time. He's not getting his $25.
18 minutes. Oh, that's right. I'm up 25 on you.
Well, we're about to throw more into that jar possibly here.
Yeah, we'll be doing that in a moment. Let's get to Brian in Shorewood. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Love your show. Best in the world. My thing is, I think the Bucks will beat the Celtics, even though they're getting healthy. I think it'll be 6 or 7. But I think this is the NBA championship for the Bucks. I think they will beat Toronto or Philly. They match up well against both teams, and especially in the West. I don't think anybody really can stop the Bucks' length and the versatility, and they can beat you inside, outside. And especially if Brockton comes back, I think it's a done deal. But I think this is the series the Bucks really need to stay focused. Not saying you shouldn't have any others, but I think this is their NBA championship right here. For some reason, the Celtics seem to catch the breaks for years against the Bucks, and if they can win this series and stay focused and stay in tune to what the game plan, I think that they're going to win the NBA championship. I think this is it right here, this series.
Brian, you might be my best friend.
Brian, can I get a ride sometime?
Hey, you guys, I'll give you my number off there, man. I'll give you guys the free service.
Oh, some free service. Okay. Yeah. Might need that.
Because you drive a limo, right?
Yeah, we got to have a write-off every so often. So.
Do you have, like, friends that drive limos in other cities?
No, but we kind of stay in contact. I have some connections in Vegas.
What about Kansas City?
Excuse me?
Like Kansas City the weekend that the Packers play there, and I'm going to go to that game?
I'm going to the Packer game October 6th. We already booked our flight, and we're going to the Charger game November 3rd.
Okay. Well, let me
probably work some out for you guys.
All right, I need to get my muffler fixed on my car. Could I get I need a car for a day. Could you give me a limo ride, like, back and forth to Lamira?
I probably could.
Okay. Because, I mean, you take a limo to Lamira, man, I'm really going to look like a big shot.
Do you own your limo company, or do you have, like, an owner?
I owned it for 30 years last Friday. I've been in business 30 years last Friday.
Wow.
Okay, do you want to, like, I'm thinking of a toy drive opportunity where you can drive our guests to the toy drive in a limo and then drive them home and then be a sponsor of the toy drive.
That could be a possibility.
Okay.
So many people have... can't get to the, you know, 6th and Rawson, find it such a long way away.
Well, why not have Eric Name drive there and get out of the car in his limo?
Get Wojo down there in the limo.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
He's still here.
We'll talk more, best friend Brian.
I think Wojo, when he first came to town, I think I had talked to him years ago. He wanted some service. That's when there was another on-air personality at a different station. It was, and he didn't last long.
Well, you know, some of the Wojo doesn't turn this thing around, man.
Yeah, why do we want the former Marquette coach at our toy drive anyway?
Yes.
You're right.
Yeah.
See you, Brian.
All right, have a great day. Go.
Yeah, you too, Brian. Shorewood, our limo driving friend. All right, NFL draft tonight. We'll have some of our props coming up by the end of the show. Ross Tucker will join us, one of our radio.com sports insiders. Bucks in six always, guys. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow night in studio. Don't forget about tonight either. Q Club of Wisconsin, 2-6, the Wendy's Big Show. 6 until the end of round one. Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson, Paul Immig, and you'll be there. Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha. Talking about the NFL draft, we'll run through some draft props before the end of the show, how we think round one will shake out and how we think the Packers selections will shake out. We'll do that right now, too, but with the help of an expert, one of our radio.com sports insiders, Ross Tucker, as we dial him up, Chuck, on the Great Midwest Bank hotline.
the Packers have two first-round picks. Do you think ideally they can get two? They should be able to get two impact players in that first round. Two guys who can move in and actually be players for this team next year. Don't you think with this draft?
Yeah, I would agree. And I don't know if they'll both be starters, but that doesn't really matter anyway, right? I mean, what matters is whether or not they can get two guys that contribute, and I think that they probably will. And that's huge. I mean, you combine that with what they did in free agency with Billy Turner to help out the offensive line, and then especially Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, and Adrian Amos. I love where the direction this team's going in. For years, guys, it really frustrated me that they were not more aggressive in free agency, especially during, frankly, Aaron Rodgers' prime. And the thing that was crazy to me about it, I know that wasn't really Ted Thompson's thing, but it seemed like, for the most part, with guys like Woodson, guys like Julius Peppers, it seemed like when they did dip their toes into free agency, it was generally pretty successful, which is why it was always a head-scratcher for me why they wouldn't do it a little bit more and try to get this team over the hump.
You know, free agency, this year they do make those splashes, a lot of them on defense, and so the draft becomes, I think, less of a we have to get a guy and he has to be successful, and more of a bonus of sorts. I mean, they still have holes that they need to fill, but because of those free agents, maybe they're not as pressing. That being said, they did go out defensively in free agency, and now when they pick at 12, from what I see, there's a lot of guys in that edge rush position, maybe defensive line up front, maybe a linebacker, that at 12, that's probably where the Packers still should go. What do you know about this class of the front seven, and would the Packers be foolish to draft anything but one of those type of guys at 12 if they stay there?
Well, and I think the more I follow it, the more I feel like the best teams go out of their way to go into the draft without having a glaring need, right? So the Packers could get a wide receiver. They could get a tight end. They could always get somebody in the secondary. They could get a linebacker to play next to Martinez, depending on how they feel about Oren Burks. And to your point, they could absolutely get defensive linemen, because even though they brought in Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, I think you can look and still say they're lacking depth there. There's no question. But the beauty of it, to your point, is there's not a single position where you're like, they have to get somebody there. They just have to. And so that enables them to really take the best guy. I wouldn't be surprised, frankly, if they took a tight end at 12 or 30. And, you know, they look not only a guy that could help them this year, but down the line. But I think the question for me on the D-line will be which guys are still available. And there should still be some pretty good guys. I think Rashawn Gary is going to fall because of his shoulder. I think Montez Sweat with the heart falls. I wonder if the Packers pull the trigger on either one of those two guys. They could also get any of the Clemson kids. I really like Christian Wilkins, and he would have some versatility to be even a D end and early down and distance, slide inside in sub package. So there's a bunch of guys. Theoretically, if one of the Devins, Bush or White, fall to them, they could take him at 12 to pair with Martinez and have a run and hit guy. So the strength is undoubtedly along the defensive line. And I would imagine that the Packers probably come out of these two picks with getting at least one guy up front on the D-line. I've yet, since my rookie year in 2001, to hear a team say, we have too many good defensive linemen. Never heard it.
Yeah, no, that's a surplus. You get guys on the defensive line, and the Packers have had injuries on the defensive line and all that. And, you know, there's been talk also about the Packers and their quarterback spot and what they're going to do at the quarterback spot. Should they start looking for their replacement for Aaron Rodgers already? We've been through this with Favre already, and now is it time for the Packers to find a successor for Rodgers, or is it just too early?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's a very different situation than it was when they drafted Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, and not that they needed to get a quarterback then, but, you know, back then, you know, people didn't think quarterbacks could play as long as they play now, right? So you kind of thought Favre in his mid-30s, you know, how much more did he have left? Plus, every year Favre was talking about how it might only be his last year or whatever. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is still in his prime at 35. He's under contract through 2023. I don't think there's any signs that the organization would get rid of him over the next, you know, 3 or 4 years. So I see really no value in drafting a successor when you don't even think you would get the benefit of his rookie contract. I mean, even if Aaron only, quote unquote, only plays, you know, 4 years, well, then you got to make the decision on the fifth year option for the guy without ever actually seeing him play. So I think that that's premature. I think times have changed. I think it's a much different situation than it was in 2005. I say no. That doesn't mean, based on how they feel about Kaiser, that they can't take somebody like a Will Greer or somebody in the third round or fourth round. They do have, I believe, a couple fourth round picks, and they could get a guy that they like, but not one of the two first rounders. And I don't think that would be, you know, we all read the Bleacher Report story. I don't think Aaron Rodgers would be thrilled with Gutekunst or Matt LaFleur if they use one of their two first round picks on a quarterback. And I don't blame them.
Talking with Radio.com Sports Insider Ross Tucker. Again, Radio.com, our free app. You can listen to us, our podcast, the station, anytime, no matter where you are in this large, great country of ours. Speaking of quarterbacks, a couple of teams that I'm curious about what they're up to. The Arizona Cardinals, who pick one. This will they, won't they with Kyler Murray thing is very interesting. And then the New York Giants I want to ask you about, too. They have to take a quarterback, right? Because their reluctance to move on from Eli is one of the most curious things in the entire league for me right now. What do you see those two teams eventually doing in the first round?
Well, let's start with Kyler Murray. And I would be shocked if the Cardinals did not take him tomorrow night. Absolutely shocked. Because if they don't take him, what was the point of feigning this interest the whole time? What did they accomplish? Some people say, well, they're trying to drive up a trade market. For who and for what? I mean, if they want the guy, they're going to take him at one. It's not like if they think Kyler's their franchise quarterback and everybody thinks they're going to take him, that the Raiders or Giants or some team can say, hey, we know you think Kyler Murray's the guy you want to take for the next 10 years, but what if we gave you this? No, I mean, if they want him, they're going to take him. So I haven't gotten any legitimate reason why they would be faking interest in Kyler Murray. And by the way, why would you do that to Josh Rosen? Why would you leave Josh Rosen hanging like this if you felt like he was your quarterback of the future, if you felt like he was your franchise guy? So they're taking Kyler Murray. I'd be surprised if they don't. And then the Giants become very interesting because I don't think they want to take a quarterback at six. You know, I think Dave Gettleman likes drafting guys that he thinks have Hall of Fame potential, like Saquon Barkley. I think he likes getting guys like that on his resume, so to speak. I think he wants to get one of these dominant defensive players and either trade for Josh Rosen or maybe take a quarterback at 17. Obviously, if there's a quarterback they like at 17 and they skip him at 6 and he gets taken, that's a horrendous mistake in my mind. A horrendous, horrendous mistake. But look, they've rode with Eli this long. Maybe they can justify it by saying, you know what? We'll trade for Rosen and or we'll get our quarterback next year. But I would expect them to come out of the first round with a quarterback either at 17 or to trade for Josh Rosen, which is what I would do. I wasn't a huge Rosen fan, but I'd much rather give up a third-round pick, maybe a second-round pick, to get Rosen than use a first-round pick on one of these guys in this year's draft.
Ross Tucker, one of our Radio.com sports insiders. Radio.com, by the way, the free app that you may be listening to right now. If you're not, you can download us and take us anywhere. I kind of have a hunch Kyler Murray's not going to go at one. Let's put some money on that. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Come on. Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. Ryan Horvath. What are our what's the ledger between us three? You owe me 50?
No, do I?
Yeah, you do. You do.
How's that?
You owe me 50 from the Masters bet.
What was the bet again? It was 25? I thought it was 25.
It was 50. I took the top six.
Okay. I thought it was 25, but okay.
We already found it and replayed it once.
It was 50,
yeah. Yeah, we did.
It was 50.
Barbie,
so you owe me 50. Right. What are you guys?
25 I owe Chuck.
He owes me.
And Horvat and I are even?
We're even.
All right, here's what we're going to do tonight. We're each going to throw $25 into the kitty, winner take all. We've got some NFL draft props for you. Each of these props is going to be worth 1 point, except for who the Packers take at number 12. That will be worth 3 points. Do we all understand and all agree?
Yes.
All right. NFL draft prop number one. Defensive players selected in round one, over or under 17.5.
I'm going to say under.
I'm going under as well.
All right, I'm going to go over 17.5 defensive players in round one. Defensive players selected in the first 10 picks, 6.5. First 10 picks, defense.
I'm going to say under in that one, too.
I'm going under as well.
Yeah, I'm going under as well. I think a lot of the defense is going to come right in the middle of this draft. Round one trades, draft day only. Over or under 7.5? Are there going to be 7.5 trades tonight? Under or over?
Under 7.5.
Why don't we make that 3.5?
Who put 7.5? Where's that from?
I pulled these from Jimmy Shapiro.
Well, I mean,
betonline.ag.
I mean, if it's 7.5, it's 7.5. Let's go with it, right?
Well, if we're all going to take the same thing.
Well, who knows? We have things to go here.
All right, over, under 7.5 trades.
We're all going under on that.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
So can we make it 3.5?
No, let's just keep it.
Okay.
So this is Vegas here.
It's a free point for everybody, I guess.
Yeah. All right, quarterback selected in round one, over or under 3.5?
I'm going to say over.
I'm going to go over as well on that one.
I'm going over there, too.
Okay.
Running back selected in round one, over or under 1?
I'm going to say that's a push. Josh Jacobs, running back out of Bama, is going to go in the first round, hopefully before pick 25, so I win some money.
Can we make that one 1.5?
Yeah.
I'm going to say under.
I'm going to say under.
So we're going to say 1.5 on that, then?
1.5 for you, Horvat?
Yep, 1 under.
So we've all got the same right now, except for 1.
Okay.
Wide receiver selected in round 1, over or under 2.5?
I'm going to say under.
I've already thrown money on that baby a month ago. I'm going under.
I'm going under, too.
Okay.
Here's where we make our money, though.
What draft pick will Drew Lock be selected with, over, under 9.5, quarterback out of Missouri?
I don't have that on my sheet here. 9.5. I'll say...
It's at the bottom.
Oh, there it is. What draft pick will... See. So under
over
would be...
Over would be 10 to 32.
Okay, I'll say over.
I'm saying over, too.
You know what? I'm going to go under. Teams always panic, and... There's always a quarterback. It's either going to be Jones out of Duke or it's going to be Locke that somebody's going to move up for, and I think it's going to be Locke. So I'll go under.
Okay.
All right. Over or under Dwayne Haskins, where is he selected? 9.5.
I'll say over, barely.
I think he's going to go under.
Okay.
Under. I think the Redskins trade for him.
Is this the first one we differ on here?
You and I don't differ on too much.
Yeah. But this is the only one, I think.
Who's going to go number one overall? This for 1 point.
Murray.
Horvat?
Kyler Murray.
I'm taking Nick Bosa.
Okay. That's their difference maker there.
And for 3 points, who do the Packers take at 12? I'm going to go with Brian Burns out of Florida State.
Okay.
Horvat?
I'm going to go Devin Bush out of Michigan.
Me too.
All right.
Really?
I said that yesterday. I like Bush, yeah.
All right. We all filled out your sheets so that I can do this at home.
Yeah.
We're going to do this the old-fashioned way, like brackets the old-fashioned way. I'll have my yellow Sharpie and highlighter, okay. And I'll be making the picks, and we'll recap it this time tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to do plenty of recap of what happens tonight. Remember, the draft coverage that you need is going to happen tonight. Sure, throw a TV on, you know, watch what's going on. Make sure you got the radio.com app pulled up, especially when the Packers draft. I mean, what always happens on TV when the Packers draft? They go to commercial.
Why don't we do an intangible? Will the Packers trade the 30th pick or not?
Okay.
Let's add that.
All right. What do you think?
I think they're going to trade the 30th pick.
Horvat?
I don't.
I'm going to say keep 30. Any other you want to come up with at the
last
second?
That's the only one I think of. Yeah. I think they're going to trade it.
What color suit will Brian Gutekunst be wearing in the war room?
Green.
I'm going to go blue.
Will Gary Ellerson know how to pronounce the name of who the Packers take at 12?
Ooh.
Will we?
over or under three syllables wrong.
Oh, wow.
All right, so again, especially when the Packers pick, throw up the radio.com app. They're out at Q Club of Wisconsin tonight. Bill, Gary, Paul, Imig will be on the draft coverage tomorrow. Horvat and I tomorrow here at the Fan. Tomorrow's morning show. We've got you covered. We'll take your calls. Michael Cohen at 7:20. Still plenty of bucks. I mean, they get started this weekend. We've got Eric Name. We've got some Celtics guests. So we're going to keep you covered on the bucks, too. It's all coming up tonight, tomorrow, all weekend long. Plenty of coverage
here. This must be a bucks town.
On the Fan. Yeah, it's bucks town.
Bucks town.
It's a our team, our town, good man. Town is what it is.
Yeah.
Just that's okay. Be honest.
Yeah.
Chuck and Winkler back tomorrow at 6. Bill Michaels up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.